BBC Radio 4. And now, tweet of the day.
I'm here in London to witness the enchanting flight of a majestic creature. A featherless beast with a bright orange hue. A yellow tuft atop its crown. And of course, a giant nappy. That's right, it's the inflatable Trump baby. I bloody love it. Screw you, Mr. Trumpy. Those Yanks don't like it up 'em. So there we go. It's agony and heartbreak for Chris Evans as I overtook him on the BBC salary list. And also for England, who've crashed out of the World Cup. But didn't they do brilliantly? Alan, how are you feeling?
I'm furious.
But Alan, they played well.
I'm not angry at that. I'm angry because they made me care again. And that is unforgivable. I'd started to believe, Gary. I believed we'd punned it till the very end.
Rio?
Nah, Alan. Don't be sad. There's still a lot of stuff to ponder on, innit? Like, look, there's Jesse Lingard. He's moved into space in the tunnel. Goes to put his tracksuit back on. In goes the left foot, right arm, left arm. Ah, oh, he's just got his elbow stuck in the sleeve there.
Why did England fall short, Alan?
Well, the back three looked tired. John Stones wasn't clearing his lines. Harry Kane ran out of legs.
Rio, could you say the exact same thing but in a slightly different order?
Sure, Gary. Harry Kane ran out of legs. The back three looked tired. John Stones wasn't clearing his lines.
What about you, Yoda?
Legs? Harry Kane ran out of. Clearing his lines. John Stones did not.
Thanks, Yoda. Great stuff. Let's go live to Gabby Logan, pitch side, with Harry Kane.
So, Harry, what happened out there in the semi-final?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, really. Some people are saying we lost because they scored one more goal than us. Hard to say, really. You know, why did we lose? How did we lose? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck? Hard to say, really. Maybe we didn't ask enough questions of their defence.
What kind of questions?
Like, can we score another goal, please?
So, where do you go from here as a team?
Well, it's hard to say, really. Well, we're in training again at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh, for the third place playoff match?
No. We're the new nice England team. We've got to practice what cheers we're going to do for Croatia in the final.
Jordan Pickford, if England had gone through to the final and actually won the World Cup, that would have meant so much for this country, wouldn't it?
Aye, that was a bit of a concern for us.
How do you mean?
To be fair, there are so many underlying structural problems in our country, both at a micro and macroeconomic level. And at the end of the day, we didn't want to be responsible for papering over those cracks with a thrilling but ultimately meaningless spot and success.
I'm joined now by Gareth Southgate. How are you feeling?
I'm sad about the result, but in the past 12 hours, I've read 15 GQ articles about how I'm the sexiest man in Britain, so it's, yeah, swings and roundabouts, really.
So the players were sat on the pitch, many crying. You must be heartbroken seeing them like this.
I am, Gabby, I am, but this is a young team, and it's great training for them. As footballers, there's going to be so many more times when they'll be sitting on a pitch crying. We are going to be world-class at that.
Finally, Gareth, at the end of the game, you put your arms around all the players and whispered something in their ear. What was it?
I just told them they've done the country proud and that if they want to get their hands on a waistcoat, get down to M&S tomorrow morning because they are going to be giving those things away.
Gareth, thanks for everything. Back to you, Gary.
Thanks, Gabby. So it's the end of the road for England at Russia 2018. And now that's over, you'll have to find something else in the country to feel good about. Good luck with that.
Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah, it's Donald. Sarah, I'm having the nicest time in England. Everyone here speaks fluent American. But the accent is weird.
Mr. President, it's 3 a.m.
No, you're wrong, Sarah. It's 8 a.m.
In London, sir, you're 5 hours ahead.
I know that. I'm in the future. The future's such a strange place, you wouldn't believe it. In the future, they sell beef-eater dolls as souvenirs instead of models of the Statue of Liberty. And they do not keep children in cages.
What have you been doing today, sir?
It's been amazing, Sarah. You should see the crowds they brought out for me. It was even bigger than my inauguration. And they had a giant flying blimp baby as a tribute. He's great. I want to keep him.
Actually, sir, it's an insult.
Oh. Babies get to sit around all day watching Cartoon Network and sucking on boobies. It's the American dream.
Are you ready for your meetings with Theresa May, sir?
You mean that haunted ghost lady? She's so scary. Why did the Ghostbusters have to become women? You know, if they were still men, I'd hire them to get rid of her ghostly gray ass.
Sir, how are you coping with all the protests? I've heard that they were hurling disgusting toilety things.
They have been, Sarah. To have all that pee-pee raining down on me. Do you know how much something like that costs in Moscow? Oh, I've seen so many sights. I didn't have a lot of time in London, so they brought London to Windsor for me. It's true what they say about it being so close together. And it was small. So, so small. So small. I felt like a presidential Godzilla. I even trod on a house.
It sounds like you were at Windsor's Legoland, sir. I need to go to sleep now, sir.
Thank you, Sarah. You know, I do appreciate you. You're just like one of the family, except not really my type. Night-night.
Hello, I'm Hugh Edwards. What a Build-A-Bear would look like if you stuffed it entirely with £50 notes. Welcome to this very special News at 10, coming live from College Green in Westminster. The headlines first, footballers confirmed it's not coming home. It was on its way, but saw what a right mess we'd made of the place and thought, nah, I don't need that much aggravation in my life. As the final whistle sounded, all of England went deathly quiet. And all you could hear was the faint sound of millions of people in Scotland laughing. After Theresa May basked in the glory of taking control of her party for all of 13 minutes, that all ended dramatically with the resignations of David Davis and Boris Johnson. Would more Brexit-supporting ministers join them? Rumours suggested Esther McVeigh would. She joins me now.
Hugh, I am resigning right now.
Are you lying?
Yes.
Are you still lying when you're saying you're lying, or are you lying when you said you're not?
I don't know anymore. Lying was so much easier when I was a little girl, leading Britain to victory in the 1966 World Cup.
As the febrile atmosphere in the Conservative Party grew ever more frenzied, only one voice seemed to urge calm.
Yes, pack it in, you blighters. Let us stop all this malarkey and infighting and get back to proper Conservative values. Standing next to angry wives apologising for affairs and looking uncomfortable around poor people.
William Hague, why do you think no one is listening to you?
Because I'm William Hague.
Now, I'm hearing there have been developments inside the House of Commons. Reuters is reporting that Boris Johnson has stripped to the waist, smeared in pig's blood, and is leading a tribe of backbenchers along Downing Street chanting, "Death to the Ramonas." We can go live to the House of Commons.
Broken down completely. Must I remind the honourable gentleman that it is quite unparliamentary behaviour to light a massive fire in the middle of the chamber, to smash Piggy, to smash Philip Hammond's glasses, and whichever one of you it was who crushed Jeremy Hunt under that boulder, well, just this once, I might be persuaded to look the other way. That's quite enough back chat from you, Michael Gove. You will have a chance to speak, but only when you have the conch.
We have to leave the Commons there, as we have a statement from Theresa May.
People of Britain, this is your supply, Prime Minister. All of the nervous ticks, none of the authority. Clearly, I am disappointed to have received the resignations of David Davis and Boris Johnson. You're wondering, I'm sure, how I will ever find replacements as competent as they have been. Well, I have managed it. David Davis will be replaced by a wonky hat stand which tips over if you put more than three coats on it. And Boris Johnson by a balloon dipped in custard with a smiley face crudely drawn on it by a five-year-old child. Frankly, the only thing that keeps me going in this nightmare is knowing that when I next face Jeremy Corbyn in the chamber, a hollowed-out shell of a prime minister at the mercy of the lunatic fringes of my party, he will hit me right between the eyes with six questions about a malfunctioning set of traffic lights in Cleethorpes. Esther McVeigh speaking. Oh, that's the first true thing I've said this month.
Esther, Est babes, it's Govey, Gove testing. MC Govatron and the Funky Bunch, how are you, my love?
I'm fine, Michael. What do you want?
Well, all these resignations have given me a mazeballs idea. We are launching a coup, hun. We all ring Theresa, the smelly old boot, and we go, we quit, goodbye. And it's going to be, so dramatic. And then, this is the best part, we put you in charge.
Oh, I'm listening.
Esther McVeigh, PM. I would be so loyal to you, it would be almost creepy. Ooh, you know what? We should ring her now and hand in our resignations. It'll be so like jokes.
Oh, all right, yeah, let's go for it.
You first.
You're not just going to make me quit to strengthen your position in the cabinet, are you?
Is this FaceTime? Can you see whether my fingers are crossed?
No.
Then no, I'm not. Gotta go. Bye. Esther, 4 p.m. Viva la revolution. Esther la vista, baby. Bye.
You're listening to Today with me, Martha Carney, and John Humphreys.
The headlines. Before the England semi-final, Theresa May sent the team a message saying she hoped they'd still be around on Sunday. And they sent her one back saying exactly the same thing.
President Trump was greeted by former Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt, who asked him to take a seat and promised he'd be seen within 6 to 8 weeks.
But now, to try to make sense of this political midsummer madness, we cross live to our political editor, Laura Koonsberg.
John, you join me in Westminster now, with May looking weakened, Hunt promoted, the Tories promising more resignations, and Laura Koonsberg is over the freaking moon!
Oh, God, not again, Laura.
Bam! Chaos Koonsberg strikes again.
Laura, I think you should calm down.
Calm, calm. John, I haven't felt this alive since I downloaded Two Girls, One Cup onto Damien Green's office computer.
Laura, Britain's position in negotiations is looking significantly damaged.
Oh, yes, John, yes. John, talk dirty to me.
We're facing the very real possibility of a no-deal Brexit.
Oh, you naughty, naughty boy.
There could even be a Tory leadership contest. Laura, what on earth are you doing?
I'm jumping up and down on an ambulance in excitement, John. There's no stopping me now. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, God, yes, yes, yes.
Maybe we should change the subject. What can you tell us about President Trump's visit?
Oh, give me 10 minutes, babe, and I'll be ready to go again.
You've reached the voicemail of Donald Trump? If this is a British Airways stewardess called Sophia, I'll call you back. And if this is Melania, I never met a Sophia. Fake news.
No, no, no. Let me speak. Donald, you old slag, it's big Nige. You know me. Of course you do. We met in that gold lift. You said going down, and I said only if you give me a job. Number seriously, can I have a job? I can't pay my mortgage. I'm just trying to get in touch so we can organise the lads' beano for your trip to Blighty. I've got it all planned out. I'll get the boys together. Me, Biffy, Bonko, Chowmane, Clammy, Wuzzuck, Radger, Mr. Jenkinson, Bonehead, Chugger, White Mike and Black Mike. They're both white, one just does a good impression. Right, so, here's what's going to happen. We'll meet at the Wetherspoons. It's got a bad rep, but anywhere that supports Brexit and serves hard liquor at 8 in the morning's all right by me. Then TGI Fridays. Then go for a few rounds of 10-pin bowling. Not the sport, it's a drink I invented. You pour 3 shots of tequila down the finger holes, sip one, snort one, then pop your pecker in the third and refuse to answer the nurse's questions at A&E. So come on, call me back, eh? Please! Honestly, look, I've told everyone we're best friends. Never had a proper best friend before. Well, there was Polish Marek at school. We played footy and smoked ciggies down the rec. Then one day I caught him with the cool kids, laughing behind my back. It's almost like that one trivial incident shaped my attitudes towards... Do you know? I think I've just realised something. TGI Fridays is closed for renovations. You'll have to be back to the Wetherspoons. That's all right. The waitress has got a lovely set of fun bags. Call me back, please. Why?
Welcome to Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark. Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thang down, flip it and reverse it. More on that story later. Okay, we're going to cross over live now for the latest on that dramatic escape story, which has been gripping us all for the last few days. Our correspondent is at the scene.
They went in as naive adventurers, thinking it would all be a jolly escapade, only to find themselves trapped in the most desperate, hostile situation imaginable. But now, one by one, or in small groups, they're beginning to emerge. And I can now speak to one of the escapees. Hello there. How are you feeling?
Oh, absolutely tip-top. Thanks for asking. I honestly never thought I'd make it out of the cabinet in one piece. So, I am absolutely buzzing, although that might be because I'm heavily sedated.
Now, as a Brexiteer, you've obviously been cut off from reality for some time. So, do you have any idea what the outside world has made of this whole episode?
I assume everyone thinks it's a heartwarming tale of bravery and pluck.
That's a no, then. And finally, after all that's happened, I imagine what you're looking forward to most is spending time with your family.
With someone's family, certainly.
This is Theresa May. I can't come to the phone right now, as some cave divers have just turned up saying they want to stretch me out of number 10. Leave a message.
David Davis, your ex-Brexit bulldog here. Sitting in my house, checking my answer phone. I'm a bit surprised that my ministerial car hasn't turned up and you haven't been returning my calls. It appears that leaving the cabinet would involve a huge loss of power, influence and benefits. Who knew? Anyway, I've been keeping busy. I've been seeing how far I can put my finger in my ear and practising my chuckly laugh. Oh, and I've fully briefed my Brexit successor. By which I mean when Dominic Raab sits down at his desk, he'll find loads of empty wrappers and a handwritten note which reads, "Sorry, there's no Toblerone left." Anyway, we both know when the dust settles, you'll want me back, taking the fight to Johnny Foreigner. There'll never be anyone as skilled as me for wrong-footing Barnier, lulling him into a false sense of security by turning up for the negotiations with no trousers on. So any time now, I'm sure you'll take decisive action, by which I mean kidnapping me and taking me to a Welsh village, like in The Prisoner, pressing a weather balloon into my face and telling me to come back. Long story short, PM, got bored of waiting. I've locked myself in the boot of my car, just to make it easier for you to kidnap me and force me back into service. I'm so excited, PM. This is just like Brexit. Me here, totally in the dark, waiting forever for something good to happen. Yes, something's happening, PM. It's almost as if my car is being picked and placed onto a low loader for parking on a red route and being taken to the scrapyard to get crushed. Oh, cripes. Don't worry, PM, I'll be fine. I got out of exactly this type of situation before. I never told you how I got my square head and broken nose, did I? Not the Brexit bulldog, out.
Well, it didn't just bleed and well put itself there, did it?
It ain't down to me.
Fair dues.
Which one of you Muppets put that bloody great wall right down the middle of the square?
Isn't it great? So great. Walford's gonna build a wall and Emmerdale is gonna pay for it. The Donald is loving visiting only fictional places in this great Britain land to avoid the protesters, of course. No one hates me here because, like my doctor and everything I say, you're all totally unbelievable and made up. Nigel Farage says you're real cuckany Brits who voted Brexit. Bet you want to thank me for making that happen, huh?
Well, rather it was David Cameron, but yeah, you'll do, Tangerino.
Hey, look at him, rushing towards me, swinging that baseball bat. What's going on, Mick? Are we going to play rounders, or are we going to... Oh!
Hello, I'm Sue Barker, a cross between Marilyn Monroe and Tupperware. You're watching Wimbledon. Why? Because England are out of the World Cup and it's either this or go back to talking to your family. Well, Boris Becker's here, and to cheer us all up after the World Cup, he's just told me we're doing a big money competition.
It's not a competition so much as an investment opportunity. I'm a real ambassador for the real country of Central African Republic. I'm friends with a prince there who'll give you all $40 million. He just needs your bank details.
Wow. If that didn't make up for going out of the football, we've got Sir Andy Murray joining John McEnroe in the commentary booth. Over to Andy.
Thank you, Sue. And wow, Djokovic gets a great serve out wide. Takes the ball early. Lovely slice. Then goes down the line.
Andy, in the time it took for you to commentate that point, the match actually ended.
Thanks, Andy and John. Great result. Well, again, if you haven't been watching, the shock news is that Roger Federer is out. Here he is speaking after the match.
The media gets to me, Sue. Every day I have to go on camera and say it was a tough match, even though the replays clearly show that for most of the matches, I was doing a Sudoku with my other hand. I'm sick of winning.
Great stuff, Roger. So thanks to the England football team, old Barker's back in the limelight. So keep watching, and kako ti se sada svida budale. That's Croatian for how do you like me now, punks.
Hello and welcome to Jeremy and Diane's Labour podcast.
And a big shout out to all our listeners. Hi, Owen Jones.
Today we'll be talking about Theresa May's position as Prime Minister. We need to show the public why her leadership is completely untenable. Let's start with all those cabinet resignations. What is it, Diane?
Well, not to question your incredible judgment, Jeremy, but you have had 103 resignations yourself.
No, Diane, those were not resignations. Those were conscious unshufflings. Let me continue. The Prime Minister has no clear position on Brexit, and not only... What now, Diane?
Well, Jeremy, a lot of people have criticised you for being ambiguous about Brexit.
Yes, but I'm ambiguous in a cuddly left-wing way. Now, will you stop interrupting?
I can't help it, Jeremy. Every time you say something about the Tories that also applies to us, I instinctively go...
Whatever. Listeners, it is clear to all that Theresa May does not have adequate support from her MPs. Well, then, what can I criticise the government for, then?
Well, you know, listeners, I think that's about all we have time for. So do join us next week when Len McCluskey will be performing his new slam poetry set.
Uh. 5039, Philip Hammond speaking. That's not my phone number. It's my favourite factorial prime. It's maths humour.
Yeah, hey, Philly, it's Goovy.
Look, Philly, I wanted to discuss a plan.
Go on.
Okay, we all ring Treezer, the stinky old Skeletor, and quit, can you imagine? And then, this is like the best bit, we put you in charge. PM Hammond, big Philly style, what'd you say, Bambino?
Well, PM Hammond does have somewhat of a ring to it.
I knew you'd love it. That's why you're my favourite and your maths jokes are hilarious.
Ooh, really? Well, you like this then. Why did the binomial coefficient cross the road?
It's very funny, it's very funny. I'll have to remember that one. Anyway. Let's draft an email and press send together. Come on.
Fine, I'm in. Done.
Amazing, me too. Right, here we go. Send on three. Onesies. Two Z's. Three Z's. Oh, my laptop has died. Oh,
wait,
sod.
No, wait. No, Govi.
Bad timing. Pinky, pinky star. Promise I will send mine later. Honest,
Michael,
I will. Bye-bye.
No,
bye,
no,
babe.
Michael. Wait, wait, wait. No,
out.
No.
Bye.
No.
So, they refused me entry into Balamory. Just because I built a golf course right over Balamory. So instead, I've been welcomed as guest of honor at this beautiful, remote, fictional Scottish haven of Summer Isle.
We revel in the pagan joys of the flesh, Mr. President. I love that you have got into the spirit of our festival by also wearing a grotesque mask.
I love this guy. He's the best. So where will I be watching the festivities from? You said I'd have a bigly viewing platform.
Yes, it's inside this enormous man-shaped statue fashioned from wicker.
My very own wicker man. This is terrific. In I go. Ooh, it's a great tune. This is so, so great. I can smell burning. It's a good old Texas cookout made from steak. Smells so good. Just for the record, Trump steaks are the best, folks. I like my steaks the way I like my women. Lean, no fat, and smothered in barbecue sauce. This place needs aircon. It's getting awful hot. Oh, what a great smell. Bigly meaty.
I'm sorry, I can't come to the phone right now. Please leave your resignation after the tone.
Gareth Southgate here. Just got the message you left on my phone on Monday about taking over the Brexit negotiations. Yeah, definitely be up for that. Something that promises so much but ends up in crushing defeat in a nation humbled and on the biggest stage as well. What more perfect job could there be for an England manager?
Dead Ringers was performed by Josh Berry, John Colshaw, Lewis McLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howarth, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Bug, Max Davis, Sarah Gibbs, Alex Hardy and Lewis Cook. It was a BBC Studios production and the producer and creator was Bill Dare.